My name is Terrell. I pastor this wonderful church in San Diego, California called the City of Hope International Church. If you're ever in San Diego, why don't you come on by the church, let us love on you, hug on you, show you how we do it in God's country. My wife and my children came up to support me. Every now and then, I like to bring them on the trips with me. I have such amazing experiences with churches and all over the world, and I want my children to be exposed to it. So I bring them with me sometimes on the trip. So my wife and my two youngest, the twins, I have a fraternal twins, boy and a girl. Let me tell you something. They tore up your church so bad yesterday at service that it would have been a sin for us to bring them back to this 9 o'clock service. So they are at home. They are at our morning service. They are at home watching, back at the hotel watching, and they are just being a big supporter of their dad. Will you do me a favor? Make my amazing wife and our beautiful children, make them feel welcome. They're watching online as well with the rest of the online family and community. We appreciate you so much for tuning in today. And next week, Dr. Sam is going to be here, and then Pastor Dudley will be back to finish the following three weeks of this series, 30 Minutes with Jesus. 30 Minutes with Jesus. And I get to lead it off today, and I'm going to talk to you about a man named Zacchaeus. I want to speak to you a tad bit about a guy named Zacchaeus. Luke chapter 19 is where we're going to be. So if you have your Bible and you want to keep up with us, Luke chapter 19, there are a few things that I want to share and that I want to discuss and want to talk to you about. How many of you have ever felt like an outsider? How many of you have ever felt like you don't fit, you don't match up? And sometimes, maybe even the room you're in makes you feel like you don't fit, you don't match up. Well, I totally understand that feeling, and I'll tell you a story here in a few moments that will help you understand it. But there's a man in Scripture named Zacchaeus who was an outsider. He was an unpopular person in his space, and because he was unpopular in his day, he was made to feel like an outsider by some pretty interesting people. Let's go to the Scripture very quickly. I'm going to read 10 verses from Luke chapter 19, and if you have not done your Bible reading from the week, you're about to get it right now. So let's start at the first verse. It simply says this, that Jesus entered into Jericho and was passing through, and a man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, something I can empathize with, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. And since Jesus was coming on that day, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once, and he welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this, and they began to mutter, "Oh my God, he has gone to be a guest at the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times that amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today," somebody shout, "Today." Say that one more time. Shout, "Today." Yes. "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." I want to talk to you today about the unpopular man, Zacchaeus. Let's pray. Father, we bless you, and I'm so grateful for this group of believers that you've honored me to be able to present the gospel in front of. So my prayer to you is short and simple. It is, God, anoint me to decrease that you might increase, rather. Anoint me to be a transparent vessel that allows the heart of heaven, not just the messages and sermons of a man, but the heart of heaven to reach the heart of these that you love. Father, I also pray that you would send the kind of anointing that makes hearing and receiving the gospel very simple, so that he or she that has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit of God is saying. We bless you for this, and I thank you for this moment, and I give you all the glory and the honor in the wonderful, matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So you heard them say a tad bit earlier, man, I've lived an amazing life, an interesting life. I am originally from Missouri. I came out here to play professional football with the San Diego Chargers before you guys stole our team. And the Lord gave me an amazing 8-year journey with the National Football League. I played 8 years for the San Diego Chargers and then spent another 6 years as the chaplain for the San Diego Chargers. I had a great time with the team that you guys stole from us. They did a fantastic job of really helping me grow up, mature as a man, and find myself in many ways. Now, I know some of y'all are looking at me like, that dude played 8 years in the football. Of course I did. On Sundays, I grew 4 inches, gained 32 pounds, and I was able to compete with all those guys out on the football field. But with that being said, it was some of the most amazing times of my life. And before that, I played at the University of Wisconsin, and I was one of those guys at Wisconsin that helped turn a program around that was really struggling. When the Wisconsin football, or the Wisconsin sports that many of you may know about now that are perennially in the national conversation, it wasn't that when I was at college. In fact, we were the exact opposite. The University of Wisconsin was at the bottom of the Big Ten, one of the worst teams in the history of the Big Ten at the time. And when I came to Wisconsin as a freshman, the team before my first year went 1-11. My first year, we went 5-6. My second year, we went 5-6. And then we won 13 games, came out to California, beat UCLA in the Rose Bowl, and the program has never turned back since. My following year, my senior year, we came back and doubled that effort with an Outback Bowl championship as well. And the program has totally turned itself upside down. I am very proud to have been a part of the Wisconsin tradition. But I said that for a reason. Because as we started to win, our notoriety, our popularity, we turned on the TV, and there we are on ESPN. We turned on the sports channels, and there we are. And now we are noted, known people all across the United States because we are gifted and we're talented people. But football wasn't my only interest. When I came to college, I was one of those rare athletes that had a love for the journey of academia. So my major was a different major than most of my teammates' major was. I majored in English, literature, and history. It was important to me that I made the full journey of my time in college matter. I came from a town in St. Louis, in St. Louis, Missouri, kind of a small journey, small mindset. I got to this university, and I wanted it to work for me. So I didn't take the traditional educational route. I went to English literature. It was interesting because I was the only black person in all of my English classes my first 2 years. I literally mean all of my English classes my first 2 years. And I also learned something about the English department. While everybody loved me and gave me a great time being there, but they didn't know who I was. They didn't know that I was on the football team because one of my secret superpowers is that I look normal. I don't walk into a room and you automatically say, oh my God, what sport do you play? I walk into a room, I'm 5'9", I'm 190 pounds, I'm an average normal guy when I walk into the room. Maybe it just looks like I work out a little bit, but nothing that makes you say, oh, this guy's a football player. And we weren't good. And it baffled me what all of these super highly intelligent, smart book nerds thought about the jocks. It blew me away what the things that they were saying about us. They said that we're not smart, that we'd be given our degrees, that it makes no sense in their brains that they would pay for someone's entire education just because they can run and knock people down and get up and have the nerve to do it again. That ought to tell you they're not that smart. They had all of these conversations and they had no idea that I was one of them. I didn't do it there for a year. I didn't do it there for 2 years. Then we won the Rose Bowl. And when we won the Rose Bowl, there was no way of hiding who I was because I was an integral part of that team. I played in a unique way, a unique role in that football team. And when I came back to school that fall, and I walked in the room as a Rose Bowl champion, let me tell you that I thought that the tables would turn and that I would be somebody. Because they just didn't know in a different room I was somebody. But instead of fandom and fanfare, half the room ostracized me. It was a very interesting dynamic because while everyone was celebrating me in one space, I thought I was going to be celebrated. Everybody, I mean, literally, it was almost like there was a line drawn between where I sat in the lecture hall and where everybody else sat in the lecture hall because they had said so many unique and weird things about me, and I had never in my life felt like such an outsider. I had never in my life felt like I was not valued. I had never in my life felt so disconnected from people that I thought I was building relationship with people that I had a lot in common with. We were all English majors. We were all book nerds. We all enjoyed literature and the classics. We were all a unique clump of people. But when I walked in and they realized that I was one of them, the room, and I was alone. And I go from being popular to being unpopular and all the stuff that comes with it. What's wrong with me? What did I do? Not real sure. Maybe if I try this, maybe if I do this. So I came here this morning because I wanted to preach to people that know what it feels like to be an outsider. I want to talk to people that understand all of the stuff that comes with being in a room full of people but still feeling alone. Having family but still being by yourself. Having community around you but nobody gets you. I want to talk to that group because that is a group that is ostracized and placed on the outside on the fringes of many cultural things. And by culture, I don't mean color. I just mean maybe you're the part of the biker culture. Maybe you're in the running culture. Or maybe you're the athletic culture. Maybe you're the religious culture. And everybody that's an outsider, how we have chosen to treat people that are not in our in-group. Jesus has something to say about that. And this story in the Bible with Zacchaeus and Jesus is an interesting story because in every biblical text, there are characters by which you can see how they see Jesus. And in this text, there are three characters, and those three characters, one is Zacchaeus, of course, the other character is Jesus Christ, and the third character is the crowd. I want to talk to you about the crowd before I talk to you about Zacchaeus and Jesus, because the crowd is what creates the drama in this text. This is a beautiful text. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is in Jericho. He just so happens to be in Jericho, and he's doing Jesus stuff. He's healing. He's teaching. He's delivering people. He's bringing people to salvation, and the crowd of people that saw Jesus come, they knew who he was. And they started to throng him. They came up on him. They started to be this huge crowd. And as Jesus is walking through Jericho, he has this huge harem of people that are around him, and he's doing the stuff that Jesus does. Now, the irony is that Jesus didn't necessarily need to go through Jericho to get to where he was going. But I believe that Jesus had a destined moment with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had a date with destiny that day. Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was coming, and the Bible says that because Zacchaeus was such a short guy, he could not see Jesus, so he ran ahead of the crowd, climbs up in a sycamore tree, and he sees so that he can get his eye on Jesus. And when Jesus sees Zacchaeus in the tree, Jesus says, "Zacchaeus, come down, I'm coming to your house." And of course, Zacchaeus comes down and takes Jesus to the house, and his whole house is saved. This is the irony of this story is not wrapped around Zacchaeus being short. Even though that is an interesting part of the story, Zacchaeus was a physically short man, and Zacchaeus was also a tax collector. Zacchaeus had a job. He was a wealthy person. But Zacchaeus was actually very uniquely different than almost every character that Jesus has dealt with in Scripture. Most of the people that Jesus have dealt with in Scripture needed Jesus for something. They were sick. They needed healing. They needed teaching. Other people were disciples. They were trying to learn from him. Everybody was around Jesus. Most of the time when you see Jesus in Scripture with people, he's healing them or he's teaching them something. And Zacchaeus needed neither. Zacchaeus was not spectacularly hurt or broken, and neither was he spectacularly spiritual. He was normal. He was you. He was me. He was a normal guy that wakes up every day, hates to shave, but has to do it anyway. He's a normal person that gets up and goes about his life and tries to honor his family. And in that, he had a desire to meet Jesus. Now, the irony is that Jesus, in this moment, is a person that Zacchaeus just has a desire to meet. He has not met him yet. And Zacchaeus represents a world that lives beyond the church world. He represents those people that are on the fringes of life, those men and women that don't know Christ, those people that have not walked with Christ, those people that only desire something spiritual but don't know who it is that they desire. And the world that you live in cannot be confused with a world that does not want God. The world simply doesn't know how to get to God. Part of our responsibility as believers is to help facilitate unbelievers to find Jesus Christ. But when we take on the personality of the crowd in the story, that's right, let's talk about the crowd in the story. The crowd in the story are all thronging Jesus because they knew he was a miracle maker. They were all touching on Jesus, but they knew, because they knew that he was a profound and prolific teacher. They were touching on him and they were crowding around him because they knew he had the ability to bring miracles and to bring powerful things from heaven down to earth. This is interesting because these are people that know Jesus. These are people that understand his power and his capabilities. This is the crowd that's around Jesus. People that are a part of the faith and religious community that are around Jesus. But how many of you understand that just because you're touching Jesus doesn't mean that you're touching Jesus? See, the woman with the issue of blood, you guys remember that story? The Bible says that people were thronging him, and thronging just means touching and grabbing on Jesus. And this woman comes and touches the hem of his garment, and Jesus stops walking and says, "Who touched me?" The disciples said to Jesus, "A bunch of people are touching you. What do you mean, who touched me? A bunch of people touched me." He said, No. "People are touching me, but somebody touched me." All right, I want you to hear me. He said, "People are coming to church, but everybody's not trying to meet God. People are doing, mission work, but everybody's not trying to do the heart work of God." And those were a crowd in Zacchaeus' story where everyone was touching him, but no one was moving him. And it baffles me because a crowd of people that know God, that know his power, that understand what is expected of them, that is why they are around him, were the people that the scripture says Zacchaeus couldn't get to Jesus because of the crowd. Could it be that one of the reasons why there's such a decline in church growth has nothing to do with COVID-19? Could it be that one of the reasons why it seems like there is a rejection of things and principles of the Christian faith has absolutely nothing to do with the change of politics in our world? Could it be that maybe the marketeers of Jesus haven't been marketing him very well? Could it be that we have found ourselves as the crowd that's the in crowd, and we've created all of these out crowd people, and if you're not like us, and if you don't worship like us, and if you don't clap on the 2 and 4, and if you don't know how to raise your hand at the right time, and I don't know why everybody always put their hand on their belly when they raise their hand, but if you don't know how to do that in the right, that you're an other? And we have a world that's on the outside that's saying that I need something deeper. I need something stronger. I need something to sustain me in this crazy world that I live in. And I'm trying to find them. So I'm looking at all of these whacked out religions and crazy philosophies and the universe and all these things that we come up with. And the people that have the answer won't let them in. So Zacchaeus has to run to a tree because he can't run to Jesus. And it's not Jesus' fault. It's the crowd's. I want to talk to the church because we're the crowd. I want to talk to the body of Christ because we're the crowd. We are the transparency, the people that are supposed to be so transparent that God can speak through us and not just to us. The information of the Holy Spirit and the information of God is supposed to work through us and not just to us. I'm going to say that again. The information of the Holy Spirit and the power of God is supposed to work through you and not just to you. You are transformed when it works to you, and the world is transformed when it works when he works through you. I want to give you a couple of things. Now, and this is important because I'm really challenging the body of Christ here, because there's a book that Brennan Manning wrote called The Ragamuffin Gospel. In The Ragamuffin Gospel, he tells the story of a man who had sinned in his church. He had made a big mistake in his church, and when he got to the church excommunicated him because of his sin. And he went and he repented to all the members, and they said, you can't come back. And he went and repented to his priest, and he said that you can't come back. So he went home, and he was really heartbroken, really saddened. And he started to pray, and he asked God. He said, God, I'm sorry for the mistake I made. I blew it, but I'm excommunicated, and I feel bad. And God said to the man, well, what do you want me to do? He says, well, I want you to tell them to let me back in. Yeah. And in the story, Jesus says to him, well, I can't do that because they won't even let me in. This is the story that God tries that God is teaching us in this text. He is teaching us something about reaching to the outsider. He is teaching us something about finding those on the fringes. He is teaching us something about not walking past all of the insignificant people and only finding the important people. He is teaching us something about the heart of the body of Christ and how we should be moving and functioning. And there are four things that I want you to write down. If you're taking notes, I want you to write down four ways that Jesus changed Zacchaeus' life. And these four ways are the way that you and I, if we walk in these principles and in these actions, we will change the world that we live in. We won't just change ourselves, but we'll change everyone and everything around us. One of the things that Jesus did, and you should write this down, one of the things that Jesus did that changed Zacchaeus' life is that he saw him. The Bible says that Jesus was walking by and he sees Zacchaeus in this tree, and Jesus calls him out of the tree and says, Zacchaeus, I have to come to your house. He didn't just physically see Zacchaeus, he saw the need of Zacchaeus. Isn't it amazing when you have somebody in your life that sees you? I mean, that not just acknowledges your presence, but they acknowledge your purpose. They don't just acknowledge that you're here, but they acknowledge the parts of you that make you you. One of the reasons why I love my wife so much is because I could smile to you guys and I could dress it up real nice, and it doesn't matter what I do, she sees me. She's able to say, you weren't real happy with that, were you? I don't care how much joy I can jump on the stage and smile and preach. She can come back and say, you're heartbroken over that, aren't you? Yeah. Because I'm not just a prop in her life, I matter in her life. And when people matter, you see them. Jesus says, Zacchaeus, you're not invisible. You're not invisible to me. The crowd is so busy having church that they don't see the poor. The crowd is so busy having church that they don't see the downtrodden. The crowd is so busy having church that they don't minister to the depressed. The crowd is so busy trying to touch God that they're not allowing God to touch them. But he looked at Zacchaeus and he tells Zacchaeus, brother, I see you. I see a father. I see a husband that's trying. I see a wife that's doing the best she can. I see a child that's confused. I don't just see a sin. I don't just see a sin. I don't just see a sin. He saw him. I want you to write this down. Number two. After he saw him, he welcomed him. Now, Jesus is a funny guy. Because Jesus invites himself to Zacchaeus' house and then has the nerve to be like, but I welcomed you into something. It's like, no, Zacchaeus welcomed you. But that's not really what happened. When he comes to Zacchaeus and he says, Zacchaeus, today I have to eat at your house. He was not just saying that today I'm coming to have sustenance to fill me. He was saying that today I'm coming to fill you. He says, when you come out of this tree, I'm about to supply you with joy you've never had before, peace you've never walked in before, a happiness that you've never experienced before. You are going to have a sense of mattering, a sense of belonging, and the thing that I'm going to give you is called salvation. And salvation is to everyone who dares call on the name of the Lord. And he says, Zacchaeus, come out of this tree because I'm about to welcome you to a life you never dreamt you could have before. I know there might be some outsiders here. There might be some of us that feel like we're on the fringe. Some of us that feel like we're not included. Maybe you feel by yourself, all alone. Maybe dealing with some depression. Maybe dealing with some anxiety. Maybe you're one of those people that says, nope, I'm actually very popular, but I still feel like nobody gets me. I came here to tell you this morning that you have a God that is on your side. He sees you and he is welcoming you into the relationship of your life. He is welcoming you into the relationship of your life. He says, I'm going to stay at your place. You're going to feed me. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? God comes into your life and then he starts taking over. Because he knows that when he takes over, where God has the steering wheel, you're going somewhere. When God has your steering wheel, you're going somewhere. And that's important for us to know because God doesn't just save you and then move his hands off of your life and say, go ahead, figure it out. God saves you, and then he says, now I'm going to take your hand off of this, and I need you to trust me as I put my hand onto this. And it might not happen fast, but it'll happen for sure. We've got to get away from turn around overnight. We've got to get away from the instantaneous blessing. We have to get away from all of the stuff that has defined a generation of church and fall back in love with the Christ that walks with us, not microwaves us. Fall back in love with the Christ that is with you when you cry, with you when you struggle, with you when you don't understand, with you when you feel by yourself. And I know it's hard for us to admit that because I'm a man's man. Like, I like dirt and I like kicking dust and I like breaking things and my son jumps off of stuff and I'm in my 40-year-old son jumping with him like, let's get it. But God knows that I'm not always that man. God knows what hurts. God knows what hurt me. God knows what I'm not admitting to. And he still says, you know what? I'm welcoming you into this new life, bro. I'm welcoming you into this life. The third thing that he does that he did to Zacchaeus is he covered him. He not only saw him, he not only welcomed him, but he covered him. He covered Zacchaeus. And this is critical because he tells him to come down out of the tree. I am going to walk with you to your house. I'm not going to send you to your house and I'll meet you there. He says, whatever they're going to say about you, they're going to say about me because I'm walking with you. Isn't it good to know you got a Savior that walks with you through all stuff and all things? That when you went bankrupt and lost your business, he was there. That when you went through divorce, he was there. That he didn't disregard you like church. Let me tell you a story real quick. One of my buddies, he has passed on. He's deceased now. And he gave me a great lesson. He was a pastor in San Diego. He gave me a great lesson as it related to understanding the heart of Christ. He was a pastor that had a church in a community that it was a scant community, almost like the red light district sort of in San Diego. And he had a ministry to really broken and disconnected people. God really anointed his life. And he had a young lady in his ministry that was a dancer. And she made her living dancing. They say she was pretty good dancing, and she was phenomenal at dancing. She was a dancer. She was a good dancer. All right, I'm gonna talk to this side over here. She was that kind of dancer. Now do y'all get it? You get it? She was a gifted dancer. And she made a lot of money dancing. And while she was dancing, pastor drew her, someone brought her to the church, she came to the church, and she got saved. And then pastor just kind of kept walking with her, and she watched her clean her life up from the life of dancing, found different ways of making her living. She was doing pretty good. She was getting back on her feet. She had gotten clean off of most of her drugs, and she was walking a life that really honored God and it honored the testimony of God in his life. She lived a life as an outsider. Because most of us would look at her for her job and be like, oh my God, see, no, we can't do that. Well, one day, pastor noticed that she wasn't coming to church. And then he noticed another week she wasn't at church. He started to ask, he was like, well, where is this person? Why is she not at church? And they said to her, they said, she went back to dancing. She ran up on some hard times, she went back to dancing. The night I was at home, I get a phone call from the pastor. And the pastor says, hey, Terrell, I just want to tell you that I'm about to go to this strip club. So are you calling to invite me? Or am I supposed to talk you down off of this? How does this work? He says, no. I want you to understand. I want you to hear me. He says, I'm going to a strip club because so-and-so is dancing again. I said, well, pastor, you know, man, maybe you should let one of the brothers go, man. Maybe he's like, no, you don't understand, Terrell. This is my job. I've invested 2.5 years praying for her. We watched her get clean. We watched her do vital ministry and be great in her community. And the devil has taken her out of our hands, and I'm not giving her back to the devil. And the world might look at me crazy, and the church might look at me crazy, but I'm calling you to tell you that I'm going to a strip club, and I'm pulling what's in darkness back into the light. Pastor went down. They said he went into the strip club. He said he walked in. I mean, you know, he told me. He went into the strip club. He goes and sees the manager. He tells the manager who he is. He tells the manager who he came here for. And as the story goes, the manager walked out on stage while she was dancing and said, hey, your pastor is here. Brought her back, restored her to the house of faith. God has done a fantastic thing in the life of her and her entire family. Do you know why because the pastor saw her. And then he welcomed her. And then he was brave enough to cover her. When everybody said, oh my God, Jesus is going in with the sinners. Oh my God, I can't believe he's about to go eat with a sinner. That's what I was saying to my pastor friend. I can't believe you might go to the strip club. Bro, you're a pastor. Maybe we should send like one of the deacons or something. They go anyway. But he said, no, bro. He said, this is our job. There are no outsiders in the body of Christ. There are no outsiders. Our assignment is not them and us. This is our assignment, man. And if you can't put your reputation and put your title down and all of these things, he said, maybe we're not fit for the title. If we can't put it down to go do the service of what it means to walk with Jesus Christ. What happens afterwards is what happens in our lives when we see people, when we welcome people, and when we have the audacity to cover people. People get changed. People's lives are transformed. And that's why I love this church, because you guys are transforming so many people's lives. Jesus looked at Zacchaeus. He said, Zacchaeus, I came here today to bring you salvation. Not to bring you good preaching, even though I personally think today's preacher is pretty good. I didn't come here to bring you great music and great presentation. He said, I came to bring you salvation. And Zacchaeus, in a moment, his life was changed. He said, I'm making this declaration right now. I'm giving half of all of my earnings over to the poor. And if I robbed anyone of anything during my journeys, I'll pay it back four times over. That's transformation. That's who God called us to be. This is the example of how we should be walking through our world, how we should be walking through our families, how we should be walking through our communities, seeing people, welcoming people, covering people so that the Holy Spirit can change people. That is our job. That is our job. So, sir, ma'am, if you're part of the crowd, you got to make way so that Zacchaeus doesn't have to go to other spaces to try to find God. If you're part of the crowd, you've got to make way and say that even though they're not in my in crowd, they can sit next to me on Sunday. That even though I don't understand the culture, the subculture that they're walking in, they can sit next to me. I'll greet them and I'll love them. I'll try to understand them. I'll open up a space for the outsider, because in Christ, there's neither slave nor free. There's neither bond, no, you're neither Greek nor Jew, bond nor free. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen. And as I close, to you that might be an outsider, I'm telling you, man, when I was a junior in college and I sat in that classroom and I watched them huddle over in the corner and whisper about me, I felt so isolated. I felt so alone. I was too macho to say that at the time, but I could say it today. Because there are people in our world, there's people in your aisle, there are people in your family. They're in a room full of family members, a room full of people, and they still feel isolated. Still feel isolated, still feel like they're by themselves, still feel like nobody sees them. And there was a young lady who came to the other side of the classroom. I knew her, she knew me. She sat down and she said, why didn't you tell us you was a ball player? I think it's pretty cool. You do so many things that we don't do, and we do things that you guys don't do. And before you realize it, we had struck up a conversation. And as the weeks went by, because she saw me and she welcomed me and she stood with me, the whole classroom changed. And before you realize it, I was the man in that class. But I was too broken to realize that I was the man before they told me I was the man. So if you're on the outside, I'm here to tell you that you are loved even though you might not feel like you're loved. That you're accepted even if you don't feel like you're accepted. That you're valued even if you don't feel like you're valued. And Jesus and people here at Shepherd Church and many people like us want to know you and know your story because you matter. Today, sir, ma'am, salvation has hit your house. Because you've been made in the likeness and in the image of God. So never again will we have outsiders. Whosoever will, let them come into the house of the Lord. So Father, we bless you and we thank you today. This morning, as we wrap our church time up, I pray that you have challenged us by the story of Zacchaeus. I pray that we have seen how you've handled the outsider and that now we will make that an aspirational goal so that we love each other, that we find the homeless person on the street, and even if we can't give them money, we can give them dignity by acknowledging them, that we can find the person who lives a world and a lifestyle very differently than our own, that we don't necessarily have to agree with them, but we can give them dignity by acknowledging their existence. Father, I pray that we would show and live out the gospel with love, and we would preach it with love, and that we would show the world through our daily functions, actions, that they're included into this beautiful thing called salvation. Heal us where we're broken. Put us back together where we're fractured. And God, I pray that this organism, the most powerful organism that you created, called the church, will rise up and be the powerful entity in this world that you called us to be. And I bless you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Come on, give God a hand praise. Such a pleasure to preach to you this morning. Listen, yes, go ahead and give God a hand praise. Thank you so much. If you don't mind, stand all over the building. Perhaps something that I said today blessed your heart and you're saying, you know what, I want to be born again. Maybe it's something that you heard in the singing or in the fellowship that says that I want to give my life to Christ. Maybe you want to learn more about baptism or you want to learn more about the church. I'm inviting you to come down and go to your left. We have counselors here that'll pray with you, that'll explain everything that it is that you need. Or maybe you're a person that says, you know what, I'm an outsider. Or maybe I'm a part of the crowd. And today, in this moment, I want to be an insider. I'm inviting you to come where you are. Come to my left. And there are counselors that will pray with you. They'll talk with you. They'll help you with the next steps of this amazing, amazing church and what God is doing here. Family, I appreciate you so much. I want to say one quick word of prayer over us, and then I'm going to send you all out of here and that you can have a great, happy, happy, and wonderful Sunday. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we bless you for this day. We are grateful to grow in grace, to celebrate with music, to experience your presence with one another. And we thank you for your word. May it change us forever. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you're watching online, God bless you.